Hello, freaks, and welcome to Radical Research. This is episode 134. We are going to be covering the seventh and eighth albums by a Ukrainian band called Drutk, Drudkh. I'm Jeff Wagner. This is Hunter Ginn, Session of Hate Hammers. How you doing?
Good evening, everyone.
Whose idea was this to cover this one?
Yours.
Was it mine? I don't remember. This is and we'll get into it in a bit, but in a nutshell, you and I really bonded over these albums because we had known about this band. We had, I think, some a little bit differing opinions on them.
I got into this band well before you did.
Yes,
Zoller got so Zoller was my entry into this band.
Same.
And
Yeah,
yeah.
same. He played me a lot, but we'll get into that once we start covering the music. We got some house cleaning to do, but welcome to us covering the middle of the Droop catalog. Because we love these albums so much. And they were a little bit controversial and they were a little bit left field for some Juke listeners. And I think that kind of dovetails into what we like to do here, too. First of all, want to thank a couple people for joining us on the Patreon page and being monthly subscribers, giving us a little bit of cheddar for what we do. Kostas T, that's Kostas T, and Luke Robinson. Thank you guys for joining up on Radical Research Patreon page. You can go to patreon.com/radicalresearchpodcast and you can simply make a small monthly donation through Patreon if you want to support and help us keep doing what we do. There will be a link in the show notes as always for that. You can send a PayPal directly. Some people like to give that way. That's a PayPal ID of radicalresearchpodcast@gmail.com. Also, our email address, and we do answer every email. It sometimes will take a while, but we have met so many good people through the emails and just through corresponding beyond just us holding court here on the podcast. And we encourage you to write with any questions, concerns, complaints, corrections. Hate mail is good, but we prefer the love as well. And right now, I've been working on getting some older episodes up on YouTube. I'd say between every episode you hear of Radical Research, I've probably put a four or five up there. It's slow, but I eventually want to get them all up there. It's fun. I add some visuals to the conversation. It's not Hunter and I. You can't see us. And I know there's a large call for that to see us because we are so gorgeous. But for now, we're going to keep doing this as an audio-only format. But we like to have our episodes up there and accessible on YouTube as well, if you like to access podcasts that way. So far, Hunter, I don't think I shared this little tidbit with you, but I've been going through and uploading some of the more recent ones and then some what I'll call classic Radical Research, if I can be so bold, like the Nuclear Death episode and the Hammers of Misfortune episode and some others. And in doing so, of course, I'm doing some recent ones. One of the more recent episodes you and I did was on Grind Crusher, the great Earache compilation. Every single podcast that I've loaded up to our YouTube channel page has made it. It's passed all the restrictions because sometimes there are like blocks if you're playing whole songs or you're playing something like Taylor Swift or whatever, something that's huge and corporate.
Yeah, right. Yep.
So, yeah, something huge and corporate, but everything has gotten by just fine, no problem. Grind Crusher was stopped completely in its tracks. Like somewhere, whoever owns Earache or whoever, decides this for them, did not allow that episode to go up, which is just so fucking crazy to my mind because it's a compilation that's technically out of print and it's only showcasing the label, in an incredibly positive light. So I don't know.
Right.
It's weird, but that's something that nobody will be able to access on YouTube. But we prefer that you listen through iTunes or Spotify or I guess I called it iTunes. It's now Apple Podcasts.
This.
So that's that. Let's get to the matter at hand. We're going to jump right in. Now, Drutk is a band that I think sometimes they get mistaken as being a one-man band by a guy named Roman Sanko. Sayanko. I'm going to butcher these names, and we're very sorry for that ahead of time. He's also known really well for his other band, Hate Forest. Blood of Kingu is another notable one. Yeah, but great guy, great talent, great talent. He is not the only guy in Drutk. There's a guy named Thurios who also is in Blood of Kingu, Hate Forest. He's been in Astroface. His real name is Roman Blagi, And so he's been in Druk as long as Roman. So yeah, not a one-man band. And the other guys that play bass and drums, the rhythm section, have been doing it since 2006. So this is the quartet you're going to hear throughout the albums we survey tonight. Now, like I said, we're going through the seventh and eighth albums, if I'm counting correctly, by Druk. And we're going to start with their 2009 album, Microcosmos. Wonderful stuff. We're going to start with a few snippets from one song. These songs are also quite long. So what we did was kind of bundle a few moments into our snippets for each song. So this is a few moments from Distant Cries of Cranes.
So I think, and I guess we'll, find this throughout this episode, but one of the things that differentiates these records from the ones that come before them is that there's a lot more activity. It's much less trance-like than the Druk that came before it.
I don't mean to stop you, and please hold that thought, but we don't have to go on. You just nailed everything about these two albums that I could ever say.
Okay.
Good night.
All right. Good. Yeah.
No,
All right.
no,
Just listen to the rest of them. We'll see you.
We'll see. No, that is astute as hell, though. I mean, you're right. You're exactly right. You hit it so hard in the head.
Yeah, but they just seem like they're starting to work through a lot more ideas, and the band seems to be more interactive too.
Yeah, that's
The
it.
bass
Right.
playing's more prominent. The drums are a little more.
Tasty.
Tasty. That's it.
Yeah, Crochet, I don't know how you say his name, the bassist. I think he's outstanding on this album. And he's just man, you're just so right about all that. I liked the previous stuff okay. Also, when I would hang out with Zoller throughout, I don't know, the mid to late aughts, mostly in New York, is when he was getting into Druk and Hate Forest and, you know, playing them for me every time I saw him. Like, I didn't quite ever latch on, you know, and he kept trying, he kept trying. And I was always like, yeah, you know, it's cool. Like, there's a lot of great guitar solos, for instance, on Estrangement. And, you know, so I know what I like about it. But I think because it was what I shouldn't call repetitive, but will, or as you much more astutely said, trancey. I like that aspect. I understand that aspect of early Druk, but I think these were the albums I wanted. These are the albums I was hearing in those early ones and going, I wish there was more, as you said, activity. And you get this on Microcosmos. And I think this is the reason there were some people in the Druk camp, because he had built up quite the, he, see, I'm, I also do this with Druk and I shouldn't. They built, yeah, they built up such a cult following that they, you know, you that following, those people want the essence of what they love. And I think they changed their essence a little bit too much for some people. I don't think it was drastic, but I feel like, I just feel it's better. Microcosmos and Handful of Stars, these are my two favorite Druks. And I've tried other ones before and after. And this is what I want from them. Anyway, that's just me.
Autumn Aurora is always going to be my favorite.
Yeah.
I love Blood in Our Wells too. But I adore these. I adore these the way that I adore Fear, Emptiness, Despair, and Diatribes.
Ah.
These are like these are like the mid-period Napalm Death records for me.
Black sheep for some people.
And I love them as much as I love those.
I would hope you're into most of the Druk stuff because you're an Agalloch now.
I
And
am. And
I feel like this band had a distinct Agalloch influence. I really do. And that, you know, Agalloch obviously predates this band.
I'm pretty sure that this band was influenced at some point by Agalog.
Have you ever heard John or
Not
Jason or
even
Don talk about it, or?
No, but I've heard other people say I hear Agalog in Druk.
Yeah, okay.
And I do, and I love The Eternal Turn of the Wheel. I love
Okay.
A Furrow.
Eternal, we should talk about maybe after during Handful discussion, because that's obviously the one after these.
And it's
And
a definite like throwback.
right, I didn't latch onto it as much, so that just tells me, well, I guess I'll stick with these two, you know. But I appreciate everyone else who I love, you know, you and Zoller and et cetera. I appreciate the love for it because I get it. I can hear it. This is a little bit, actually two or three bits from Decadence.
Thank you.
Okay, so three parts of decadence. Let's move backwards. That last part, the third part, I love the stop and then the time change. Like it sort of gets into a completely different momentum and riff and vibe. Very cool. And then before that, the guitar layering, triumphant as all get out, I guess. I mean, if I'm being honest.
It is Triumph as All Get Out. And I have a very, so you actually got this record before I did.
Yeah, I
And
remember that.
you called me, or I don't know, you emailed me or something at work. It was before I had text messaging.
Carrier pigeon, carrier pigeon. Yeah.
You sent the pigeon.
Yeah, so the pigeon.
Telling me a story about you being on the porch in Virginia and you were
Oh, I
drinking
remember it.
Bell's what was that stout, that amazing Bell stout?
Worldwide. No, that's Dogfish Head. Oberon? Wait. Bell's.
No,
Oh, no, Expedition Stout.
Expedition.
Yeah.
He
Yeah.
told me that you were out on the porch and like a breeze, and it was cool, and you had an Expedition stout, and you were listening to this on headphones, and that is like the perfect environment for this album.
It was, and I hadn't made this connection before, but it was an expedition, so a great, a well-named beer for that moment, because it felt like travel or discovery. It was, yeah, it and yeah, in that environment, overlooking trees and hills that such as you might see on a Druk album cover. Yeah, it was perfect.
Like such as this one.
Such as right now, and boy, this beer is good. No, and then yeah, so yeah, I'm glad you remembered that. It was a good memory. And then the first part of that snippet, just wanted to point out once again some really tasty drums, man. Tasty freeze.
Dude, all the rhythm section on these two albums is extraordinary.
Oh yeah. Again, another reason to love these. I don't understand people who don't like them, and there
And
is a
they,
faction.
it's funny like how the guitars, and I assume this is by design, primarily by Sanko, who is, obviously the chief conceptualist, kind of opens up a space for the bass and the drums on these records.
Yeah.
And the way they're recorded, I'm like, it's super dry, but it's always like super prominent in the mix too, and just
Yeah.
really punchy, and yeah.
That's interesting. You used the word dry. It's not one I would have used. I guess I think what you're hearing is dryness. I hear is earthy or organic, like wooden,
Yeah, I guess same thing, but like
a
there's
wooden,
almost no
yeah.
reverb, like, and the tones are just very, very natural.
As
Very
it should,
like
yeah.
70s in a way.
Yeah. But still also the way they're recorded, you brought that up too, like just the kind of texture of them. It's black metal. I don't think we've said the term black metal yet. We don't need to. They're clearly they to me they've always been black metal, but always been something else. Like
Yeah,
and I
totally.
don't know what that something else is, but they definitely occupy two things, kind of the way Enslaved does for me.
No,
But
they're special. Yeah, in that way.
here's something about we're talking about wooden being an organic sound, or obviously the cover of this album is actually the cover of this album. I'm looking at it now. I just looked at it. That was kind of like what I was looking at when I was drinking the stout. Just
Oh, yeah.
a slightly different vantage point, that the trees were a little higher than I was. Well, that's debatable.
So to speak.
Yeah, so to speak. No, the thing I wonder, Agalloch put out a wood box in 2010. Did you know Druk put out a wood box set in 2007?
No.
It's called Blabbermouth. That's going to be huge. That revelation that
Oh.
Agalloch took influence, perhaps. I don't know. We'll have to ask those guys.
Breaking news.
Do you know any of those dudes in Agalloch? Can we ask them? I heard tell you was drumming with them boys. All right, having too much fun. Let's move on. Let's get back to being serious. Now, ooh, this is a special one. Ars Poetica.
Oh
Third
yeah.
song.
So this is the one
Yep.
that I think really got you down in your plums.
It did give it, ooh, nice Eastbound and Down reference, man. Will Ferrell. Good one. Good one. Yeah, no, that this one did get me in my plums, and it still does. The thing I want to start with is I'm sure glad we love Bergtot era Oliver, because we wouldn't be loving this if we didn't love that. That is
Right.
so Bergtot in spirit, but it's like Bergtot era Oliver playing De Kreutzmann covers.
Yeah, dude, like post-punk Bergtot.
Yeah, I think it's partly the texture and the recording. Certainly De Kreutzmann would get there on like Oktoberphile and Century Days. And then this other melancholy, because Druka is definitely melancholy, right? If they're nothing else, they're melancholy. De Kreutzmann were very melancholy. I mean, even their hardcore shit to me always had this sort of like retiring melancholy, like just leave me the fuck alone, isolation. You know what I mean? Like I don't know. Am I reading too much into it?
No, not at all. No, think about Gone Away.
I want to think about Gone Away every day. That song. Is that that's your favorite De Kreutzmann song, right?
Probably, yeah. If
Okay.
I mean, God, I'd hate to pick one, but yeah.
I don't think I can.
I'm not going to.
I wish
One of my favorite.
Dude, I'm going to say this on air. I wish Tom Haley were here to talk about Dekreutzing with us because I loved talking Dekreutzing with Tom.
Oh, it's always spirited.
I mean, he totally got them, man. Like the biggest way. Anyway, love you, Tom. Let's move on.
It's just such a beautiful piece of music. And it always just like, it always moves me. It is my favorite Druk song.
Oh, mine too. I think what happens with this song is you get a moment where you're like, oh, that's going to be the peak moment. That's fantastic. And then, like, 3 minutes down the line, nope, you get something else. And that ending with the snare roll and the, just how everybody's working
And
together, that's just, it's
that's what I was
gorgeous.
talking about that. Dude, it's almost like the tones are almost like Bruford era, yes.
Oh,
Like
the snare or.
like the snare and the bass
Oh yeah.
and how upfront they are, like yeah.
That kind of percussive Rickenbacker string hitting the pickup
Yes,
sort
like
of bass
Squire
sound.
Bruford, yeah, just
Very good, very good. I'm glad we're revisiting this. It's these albums are special.
yeah.
This album by like a lot of Druk stuff is bookended with short instrumentals. We're not going to play one thing from this album that's more significant. It's a 9.5 minute song called Everything Unsaid Before. I think it's kind of a funny title because that's kind of how I feel about it. Like I like it a lot. I just don't th I think they peak with the other three that we listen to. I don't There's nothing wrong with it. We could play a snippet from it and be awesome, but yeah, it well, it's time to move on to Handful of Stars. How about
Go buy the fucking record.
hey,
Just get buy the fucking record.
get yourself down to Record Bar and give the gift of music, okay?
Yeah. Hey.
Okay, so we move on to Handful of Stars. What is it, 1 year later? 1 year later.
Yeah, dude, yeah. 1 year.
And these guys are always prolific. And then Romans and Hate Forest, which is also prolific. It's
And Blood of
crazy.
Kingdu released a record in 2011.
Yes. Yeah. And
And
well, his
so,
other stuff. Yep.
yeah. So,
So he, yeah, his late
yeah.
aughts, early teens, pretty productive, right? So you and I, before we get into Handful of Stars, this is a good juncture here, maybe. Before we actually started recording, we were discussing, well, is somebody out there going to cancel us or just like drop off because they think Roman and Druk are, I don't know, NS National Socialist to a degree that's something we wouldn't probably ever cover. But
No.
they're not. They're not. He's not. They're not. We know it. Prove us wrong. You won't be able to. Let's move on. Because I really don't think it
Yeah,
deserves
and
more, right?
it doesn't. And you and I do not support. We made a decision. You and I have our politics.
Yeah.
And I think anybody who's listened to this show for long enough can probably tell what our politics are.
And how similar they are as our musical likes together.
Even though we don't, we make it a point not to talk about politics because that's just not what we're about.
Right.
But I think that it should be clear to anyone that we do not support any kind of, bigotry, racism, national socialism, anything like that. None of that bullshit.
None of that
And
foolishness.
this band is not that.
Last night, it just so happens I listened to the first song on Burzum's Philosophem, Dunkelheit. And, the lyrics are English. Read them. I hate that guy. I fucking hate that guy as a person, or what I should say more what he became, but of course he wasn't real golden when he stabbed Euronymous. That was pretty
Awful
stupid.
person to begin with, yeah.
But hey man, we wouldn't have had Grand Declaration of War in the way it was. So I'm not justifying anything. Oopsie. Now we get canceled. No, but like I feel like yeah, and but listening to Dunkelheit and knowing that what Burzum what Varg was writing about on those albums. I'm fine with it. I'm fine with listening to that because it's great art that does not address or push or agendize any of his shit. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't in terms of politics, some of the insane shit he said about the killer in Norway, that guy. I forget his name right now. The guy that shot up the camp of mostly children. He's cool with that guy. Like, no, fuck you, dude.
Nah, he's a piece of shit.
I think there need to be way less people in the world, but that's not how you go about doing it. Fuck you. So we're going to move on, and you can't cancel what's radical.
Which radical cannot be canceled?
As a great man once said, we're not sure who that great man was, but we'll let you know when we find out. All right, moving on, dude. So I gave you the job of the handful of stars snippets. What's your
Okay.
relation? What do you remember about this album and when it came out? Because although I remember getting into it, it began a
I was actually a little cold on it at first.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah, it was you remember how you were on Deathspell's Drought?
To a
Oh,
degree still, I'm yeah.
it's just like so astringent and so
Yeah.
stripped down. That's kind of how I felt about this then.
Interesting.
Because Microcosmos sounded more atmospheric, and this just sounded, which is hilarious to me now because this resonates so well with me now. And I felt like would have resonated with me really well like 7 years before.
Right, right.
Because it's basically like their rock album.
So
Lot
I'm
of
glad you.
catatonia in it. There's some like really abrasive indie rock in it. And yeah, I don't know why at the time it didn't hit me the way that it does now.
Well, that's interesting. I thought it was a lateral step in a lot of ways, but also one I wanted because I always felt Druk would probably never stay here, and they've proven that they have. They've kind of,
Yeah, that's right.
in one way, regressed, in another way, they're just what they are now. But they're not this. And this was kind of like a companion album, I guess. I think the stuff you're talking about, though, Catatonia and noise rock, like that is interesting because that it is more prominent on this album for sure. This one begins and ends with short instrumentals again. And we start with Downfall of the Epic, or Epic, however you want to say it, from Handful of Stars. We talked about Decroits, and I think here, at least with that last snippet you chose, well chosen, my friend, we have to talk about Angel Rat.
Yes.
Not far away.
No, not at all. Like melancholy, I don't know, melancholy rock.
Yet,
Like,
I think with the melancholy, there's that soaring beauty, dreamlike. Dreamlike's probably the best word for Angel Rat. Yeah, I think that's there. I mean, same again. We could be talking about Decroits, and these bands get compared, rightfully so, quite a bit.
that clean, that one break with just the guitar, that
Yeah.
dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, that is pure Angel Rat.
I just think it's sort of. Has almost no echo right there in that moment that you're talking about to early Druk, but I could be disproved.
I don't think so.
I think there are some different choices on this one. Also, the thing that sets this one apart from even Microcosmos, as you were talking about earlier, was that it does seem to be a deliberately different production choice. You know, kind of the way Panzerfaust was for Dark Throne, where they were like, okay, yeah, we could do that again, but no. And I'm just talking. Texturally, aesthetically, you know, sonically,
Well, and I
engineering
think
wise.
that's one of the reasons that this is such a, I think Microcosmos is too, but I think this is a particularly divisive record
Definitely.
in catalog.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. I love it. Let's move on. I want to listen to Towards the Light. This is you made some good picks on this one too. A few snippets here. Two, I think, right?
I try to do what I can do, Jeff. What I try to do is let the music do the talking.
But we know that. Yeah, we know that. Let's do it once again.
I don't think about Druk as a particularly rhythmic band.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, like you said, they're, we call them black metal band. I know they're more than that, and but like, I don't think about that kind of angular rhythm being a part of their sound normally. But I mean, that's a like a very obvious nod to the angular English post-punk stuff that you'd find in Gang of Four, pop group or something like that.
And again, we keep saying this word, but with the melancholy, it gives me a bit of a chameleon sort of vibe. Yeah, man, that's dead on. It was funny. We had a great moment when we do this. I think people have gathered by now, if they're have listened to us before, we listen in real time, as the listener does, hopefully. But we don't have the recording sophistication yet to like talk through music. But then we have this thing about talking through music. We'd rather not. It's just a sacred thing, yet we snippet it up. But no, but while we listen, sometimes we kind of have reactions. We can't hear each other very well through the headphones, but you had this great reaction in that moment in the middle of that set of snippets, right in the middle, where they go down into this just like spare guitar, kind of the thing you were talking about. And you had the most Hunter Ginn reaction I've ever heard. It was so great. It was like, wow, do you remember what it was? What your exasperation was?
No.
It was so funny. You were like, oh, give me more of that sweetness. Just give me more of that sweet, sweet gravy. You were like, really good, man. So yeah, that's a great moment. Introduce the next one. You pick these. You're responsible for these.
Twilight Oriole. Oriole?
Oreoli or Oriole. I think
Oh.
it's Oriole. Yeah, don't confuse it with the cookie.
Or the baseball team.
Thank you. I think that's my Ars Poetica of the album.
Yeah.
That I don't even call it a solo, just that weird guitar neck
I don't
shit he's
even know.
freaking out on at the end of that, and then
Yeah.
how they kind of bring it down from there, right? Like it's like the expulsion happens, and then and it's just it's gorgeous, man. It's some of the
Almost like
best work.
a, yeah, like a Steve Vai kind of a moment.
Oh yeah.
Like he would make his, not melodic necessarily, just make his guitar like bend to his will.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
why he's played for Zappa and is now playing in a sort of a alternate universe King Crimson. I mean,
Yeah, true.
the guy's
True.
incredible. You know, like
True. Yeah.
he's always been one of those guys that I wish he was on more stuff that I liked a lot.
Yeah, same.
But the stuff I love by shit, I love Yankee Rose. I mean, I taught myself to play bass to that
Oh,
song.
dude, Yankee Rose is an incredible song.
Yeah, no, I've never met a person who doesn't like it, and you just have to be into the Van Halen thing to like it. It's just like this alternate universe Van Halen classic, you know, like it's atomic punk level. It's amazing. Yeah, but
And the
anyhow,
chorus is catchy as all shit. And yeah, everything
yes,
about
it's good.
it's great. Yep.
Well, I think that's our first David Lee Roth segue, or veering off into
Dude,
somewhere we
you
did.
know, like my mom and I were talking about David Lee Roth on the drive home from seeing Ella today.
I'll bet you were.
That's really weird that that came up.
That is
So,
where, well, yeah, he's an American classic.
well, we were behind two very slow drivers, and I was I'm such a loser, and I was like, Sammy Hagar wouldn't put up with this shit.
I'm
And
keeping this in. I'm keeping this in. This is not getting edited out. That's amazing.
my mom was like, who was the first singer in Van Halen? I was like, David Lee Roth. And then we started talking about David Lee Roth. So
I love that. Oh, that's what a great moment. Yeah, so back to Steve Vai, back to Droog. Yeah, the guy playing that solo. I'm assuming it's Roman, but I can't be sure. Does the other guy play leads? I mean, see, here's the thing. I don't know as much about Droog as I do a lot about most bands I love and listen to. These two albums
yeah.
are isolated for me. I don't know if the
The lead
other.
aspect on Droog was way more prominent pre Microcosmos or Microcosmos or
It
like
actually
Blood
was,
Rebel
yeah.
has a lot of really, really epic lead playing.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was always the thing I loved about the early Droog. That was always my favorite thing was the leads. I just something about other aspects, but
Yeah.
anyway, they do pull it all together. But I think a lot of Twilight Oriole. I think it's pretty incredible.
Just recording this episode is making me think these are my two favorite Droog records now.
Well, you know.
Like,
Look,
man.
go back to Blood in the Wells and tell me if I'm crazy for, not really ever listening to it. I think that's kind of since considered the early classic or one of the early classics. I mean, yeah, like you said, people love Autumn Aurora.
I do. I
What's
love that. I love that record so much.
the first album, Forgotten Legends, or
Forgotten Legends, the first
is
one, yeah.
that, yeah, okay.
Oh,
Well,
which
we,
I like, but I like Autumn Aurora is just, yeah, that's a, yeah, that's
yeah.
transcendent metal to me.
Before we move on to the final snippet of the night, I feel like there's an aspect of the production choices or the engineering choices. I mean, clearly this band will always exist on the kind of raw end of that slate. But I think that also sets it apart from Microcosmos in this really deeply divisive way in terms of texture. It's a very, here's where I would say it's dry. Here's where I'd say it's really spare. It's like Deathspell Omega's Drought that you brought up earlier. It gets even more into that world for me.
Yeah, it does. Like I don't know if you are familiar with band Coding, who recorded for Pop back in the let's just say mid-90s.
Did you say recorded for Sub Pop?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Codeine. I've just never heard him. I know the
Hey,
name, of
like
course.
listening to this, listening back to this, I cannot imagine that Roman is not a Codeine fan.
See, that's interesting. I'd also love to know what the two Romans, the guitar players, who their heroes are. I've never read a single interview. I don't know if they do interviews.
I don't think they do interviews.
Yeah, I haven't delved into that, but that's the sense I get. I know almost nothing about them. I think they've kept the mystery in the
Yeah.
way Bathory did for so long. You like Bathory, right?
Yeah, I mean, what I've heard,
What?
pretty cool.
I haven't bought anything, but it's pretty cool. Yeah, before we leave, last thing, look at this album cover. I love Handful of Stars album
Oh God,
cover.
it's so good. So
Yeah,
good.
that's good shit. This is the day will come. We will return, talk a little bit about it. Say good night. Man, that guitar work there. Ooh,
If
the.
you're unfamiliar with this band, and that doesn't compel you to check them out, then maybe go listen to Foo Fighters.
You'll never be a member of the Druk Army. Yeah.
Nope.
We are foot soldiers. You're more experienced in war than I, yet. I'll stop there. Yeah, a lot of fun, dude. Thank you for doing this. I love listening to music with you, even in snippet form. And this shit made me love them even more, especially that last segment in The Day Will Come. That guitar work is so celestial. Just everything I
Awesome.
want.
Yep.
Everything I want if I'm listening to music. I want to feel those things all the time.
Yep. Same. Same.
Yeah, thank you, Druk. Thank you, both Romans, and that compelling, amazing rhythm section. Thank you. We stand with Ukraine. We finally get to 135. Nice round number, Hunter. This was a Paul Stope suggestion. We announced it last episode as well. We're going to stick to these next five. Let's roll right through them. I think the next one we talked about, and correct me if I'm wrong, was the course corrections episode. Am I right? We'll explain what that means a little more, but these are like sort of the opposite of companion albums, where like a band falls. A lot of people feel that they fall. I think Saint Anger and Death Magnetic would qualify. I don't know if we'll cover those. We could. It'd be a fun part of the conversation, but there's this response to a downfall type of album. Sabotage's Fight for the Rock into Hall of the Mountain King. That's a response to, that's like a comeback, right? Like, we don't want to call it comeback. Paul Stope called it the course correction. And we are now so intrigued by the course correction idea. Vanity Nemesis could be a course correction album. we can argue for or against it. We're going to do a lot of talking, not so much snippeting on this next one, but I think it's a great subject and I really look forward to it. And we're going to try to dive into Prague and just other areas of music. Gentle Giant, I think there's an example there. Giant for a Day into Civilian. Civilian's a good album. Course correction, next time on Radical Research, episode 135.